Well, I am grateful to be with you all today. It feels like not too long ago, back when I was your youth pastor. I was able to be the youth director here from 2016 to 2018 while I spent time studying up at Florida Southern. But today is all about celebrating our graduates, your completion of one season of life and your entrance into a completely new and different and terrifying and exciting season to come. And the interesting thing is that while we celebrate specifically our high school graduation today, life continually provides us with a lot of new seasons, a lot of new opportunities, a lot of new change. I remember when I concluded my time here at McLeod as the youth director, we got to do a summer mission trip to Cedar Kirk. And we arrived back at the church on I believe it was a Friday afternoon from doing a mission trip at Cedar Kirk, and I went straight to the U-Haul rental place and picked up a box truck, and 3 days later, I was landing in Texas for the new adventure. And that was a really big transition. Megan and I both moved out to Texas, but we were a little over an hour apart from one another. We didn't really know anybody. Not only was it a new place, but it was a new state. It was new education. It was new jobs. And Megan and I found ourselves praying for over a year for community while we were in this place. We wanted to find our people. And God answered that prayer not on our timing. It would have happened a whole lot sooner and been a whole lot smoother. But also not the way that we expected, in a really unique way. Our people became a group of about eight, and all of them were old enough to be our parents, some of them old enough to be our grandparents. And these were our people that we hung out with, that we found relationship and community with, that we did our little COVID pod with while we were out there. And it's funny because somehow, even though I was the youngest in the group, I was still the first wanting to go to bed. I was still the grandpa at the end of the day. And that is a title I proudly still hold with our community in Sarasota as well. But there is a lot about transitions and new beginnings that we don't expect, right? When I transitioned from Punta Gorda, about an hour and a half south of here, up to Lakeland for school, it was easy. It was exciting. And when Megan and I moved from Lakeland out to Texas, it was a lot more difficult. Texas was hard. And whether it's transition into college or transition into married life or a new job or a new house across town or a new house in a new state or it's growing your family, there's always more that is changing during these new beginnings and these fresh starts than what meets the eye. See, our community changes. Both our spiritual and our social community. The people that we gather with here on Sundays is going to be different because we're going to be gathering somewhere else on Sundays. The group of people that challenge us in our faith are going to be different. The people that we spend our hobbies with are going to be different. Where we live is going to be different, right? In seasons of transition, we have to figure out where our new favorite grocery store is. You're going to have to figure out what a grocery store is, you know? And a lot about those things change. Our routines change, right? We have a different class schedule. We have a different work schedule. We have new social groups that meet at the strangest of times. Megan and I just joined an adult kickball league, and they have games at 9:30 at night. Who does that? Right? You have to find new support systems, right? We have our support systems here, but it's going to be important that we find new support systems where we find ourselves, that are present with us, that we can go to at a moment's notice. Our sources of stress change. Our parents are no longer telling us to clean our room. Our roommates are saying something to us because our dishes haven't been done and our laundry hasn't been done in several weeks. And they're wondering when we're going to take care of those small chores. Our responsibilities change. And suddenly we're responsible for all these different moving parts in our life. And the most challenging thing that seems to always be the case about transition, about new beginnings, about fresh starts, whatever they look like, is that we're never fully prepared. We're never fully equipped for what's to come, right? Are we educated enough? Are we responsible enough? Are we able to juggle all of these new responsibilities? Do we have clear expectations of what other people are asking of us? Have we set clear expectations of what we expect of ourselves? How often should I be doing laundry? How do I do laundry? How many different meals can I make in a microwave? I'm someone who likes to ask a lot of questions about something new that is happening. 90% of the time, I like to ask more questions than I can have the answers to, because I like to eliminate as many variables as possible to be the most prepared that I can be. But when new seasons of life present themselves, we're not going to have all the answers. We're not really going to be fully ready for whatever that next step in life looks like, and in this case, that next step of moving away into the next phase of your education. And so right about now, you guys are like, wow, we should not have asked Connor to come back. This is not a good pep talk for graduation Sunday. This morning, I want to look at Joshua as an encouragement for what we might be able to take away and apply to these next steps or transitions of life and whatever they look like, especially for our graduates today, but also for any of us who are experiencing new seasons and transition. And before I dive into the scripture, I always like to set the scene of what is leading up to the passage that we're going to be reading. So we're all in the same place and we're following together. And the passage today that is in the bulletin, I know that there is NIV Bibles in your pews. I'm reading from the NLT today. I decided to choose a passage that the NIV just doesn't have all of the verses to, I guess. The last couple of verses that you'll hear me read will not be found in your NIV, and I apologize about that. But to set the scene entering into this passage from Joshua, right, we have the story of Abraham and his family. And we know Abraham and Abraham's descendants become the people of Israel. And as time goes on, the people of Israel become enslaved in the land of Egypt. And as time goes on, Moses comes into play. And Moses rescues the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery. And it is so exciting. And they're heading off back to the promised land. But life isn't as easy as they find it. And they find themselves out in the desert and in the wilderness for 40 years. Waiting on direction from God. Now Moses is on his deathbed, and he lays his hands on Joshua, who was his assistant, and he blesses him. And that's the end of Deuteronomy. The end of Deuteronomy tells us that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. And we pick up in Joshua chapter 1 this morning, hear the word of the Lord. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. And I promise you what I promised Moses, wherever you set foot, you will be on the land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. See, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, and then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually and meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land your God is giving you. See, everything changes as the Lord calls Joshua to lead the Israelites back into the promised land. I mean, talk about a call on your life and entering in a new season here that you were not prepared for. One second, you are Moses' assistant, and the next second, your boss dies, and you're now commanded to step into that leadership role and lead the people of Israel into the promised land. I imagine Joshua probably had a lot of mixed feelings about this new season, right? How am I supposed to lead all of these people? How am I supposed to follow up a leader like Moses, right? Are you sure that God has the right person for the job? What tools and resources do I have available to me to actually get these people into this land? See, Joshua steps into some big shoes with only a blessing from Moses and a reassurance from God. that God's got his back. See, with this blessing and a word from God, Joshua leads the Israelites to conquer the promised land. Now, I'm not sure how often in our lives we get the opportunity to conquer a land and bring back tens of thousands of people into a land that was once theirs. I'm not sure how relational that specific example is, but I do know that we're familiar with new beginnings. We're familiar with new opportunities. We're familiar with new responsibilities. We're about to be a whole lot more familiar with those things in about 2.5 months from now. And stepping into new seasons of life can be scary. It can be exciting. It can be intimidating. Just a little bit of everything in between. And it's safe to assume that Joshua felt a lot of these emotions. See, Joshua was entering into a new season of life here with new responsibility where he didn't have all the answers. Joshua probably didn't have any of the answers. There was no rule book or guidebook for what he was being asked to do. And as I read this story, I immediately think of the doubt that Joshua might have had of what was about to come, of what might happen. Now, I want to note here that our scripture doesn't tell us about Joshua's doubts. But knowing the humanity of Joshua, the humanity of us, and how we might relate to Joshua, if we were put into that position, we would have our own doubts, right? Joshua probably doubted if he was ready or equipped enough. Doubts around if God's word was true, and he was really going to lead the Israelites back into the promised land that they had been waiting 40 years on. Doubts around if the Israelites would listen to him and accept him as their leader. Right, I mentioned a minute ago all of these concerns that we have when we experience these transitions of life, but I think a lot of these concerns are doubts. Doubts around if we're going to find new community, if we're going to be able to handle these new responsibilities. In normal life, we experience doubts throughout our week. Doubts around if we can keep up with certain groups. Doubts around if we can succeed at new opportunities. Doubts around if what we're doing is really what God is calling us to do, or if God is even present in our space and cares about us, right? But when entering into new seasons of life, our doubts become a lot bigger. In some cases, they can become crippling and overwhelming. We can feel in over our head. But it's in this passage that we see God promise and reassure Joshua that God is going to be present wherever Joshua goes, as far as to the east, to the west, and the south, to the north. Right? In other words, God is pretty much saying here, like, listen, Joshua, I know that you are in over your head. I know that what I am asking of you is a lot and it is intimidating, but there is nowhere that you go where I will not be with you. See, I have commanded my people to enter into the promised land, and you are the one to lead them, and you are going to succeed because I have your back. Now, how much of this Joshua bought into and how confident he was in the Lord's word to him at this moment in life, we don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. But there is some level of faith because we see Joshua turn and command his officers to tell everybody to get their stuff ready. We're going home. And when we experience moments of doubt, when we feel in over our head or isolated, like we're struggling to find community, at the end of the day, we know that we have our faith to hold on to. See, I love in the Gospel of Matthew where it talks about mustard seed-sized faith, right? Christ says, I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. And nothing would be impossible. See, there are moments in life when our mustard seed-sized faith is going to have to be enough. So we always talk about mustard seed-sized faith as an encouragement of what can come out of it, right? If we have this little bit of faith, there's so much that can come out of it. There's so much power that it holds. There's so much that it can grow into. But there are moments in life where we're going to feel like a lot of that is stripped away, and the only thing that we have left is this tiny little mustard seed-sized faith. And in those moments, that is enough. See, because that small amount of faith holds the power to transform us, to transform our hearts, to guide us. And it's because we choose to hold on to our faith and we claim our faith as our own that wherever we go and whatever we do, we have that. That's a really powerful grounding. And as we think about what it looks like to respond with courage in the faith of Joshua, step out in this new season of life when so much is shifting, there's some things that I want to bring attention to about this passage that we read a second ago, right? And if we want to be successful, I'm not necessarily talking about having a good job, making good money, but if we want to be successful and want to find healthy community, if we want to build a healthy relationship with our Lord and our Creator, if we want to walk with this courage and strength in overwhelming and difficult moments and just in new seasons and seasons of change, there are things that we can be doing. I always love to say that we are 100% responsible for our 50%, right? We always say healthy relationships are 50-50. Well, our relationship with God is no different, and we are 100% responsible for our 50% of that relationship with God. And the Lord gives Joshua some commands, right? God is giving us all the tools and resources we need to be successful. In verse 7, it picks up, it says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either right or to the left, and then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you are going to be sure to obey everything in it. And only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do." See, our whole lives, whether we're 17 and 18 or 45 or 77 or 87, anywhere in between, we never cease from building the foundations of our faith. Right, we think we graduate from that, but it's when we think we graduate from that that we actually lose sight of it. And we start to stand on a sandy ground. See, because God is with you wherever you go, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit that abides within you, you can know what God is guiding you towards. You can also know what God is maybe steering you away from a little bit. But the uniqueness of this new journey that you're getting to venture out on is that now, more than ever, it is your decision to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But see, at the same time, it does not solely rely on you. While it is more than ever your decision and your responsibility, we are still called to be in community with one another. And it's not a decision that you ever have to do alone. You aren't losing your friends or your community here. Their role in your life, though, is shifting. You get a new opportunity to build community where you're going to, in this new place with new people, to build a new support system. See, if we kept reading past the passage that we read this morning in Joshua, we would hear of Rahab, who hid spies. And without Rahab's presence and role in this story, the Israelites would have never made it back to the promised land. See, our call that God is calling us to in this new season of life never consists of being on our own. It is always in community with others. In the same way God challenged Joshua with new responsibilities, God challenges us with new responsibilities. The same way that God reassured that God was with Joshua in this new and intimidating season, God reassures us of the same truths. See, as we venture into this new season, our prayer is that we hold on to that mustard seed size faith, that we know that in our dark moments, in our moments of being challenged and overwhelmed, and they do come, that little bit of faith is going to be enough. That we may know that God continually walks with us, that God continually guides our hearts and provides for us God's strength and provides for us unique sources of community, and even if they don't look the way we expected or the age that we expected. So, let me close in prayer this morning. God, we give you thanks for new beginnings. We give you thanks for new journeys, for new opportunities, for new seasons of life, however they may look, and specifically today as we get to celebrate our graduates. God, you have placed a call on their life, and they know what that is, and may they be reassured in that that is where they will experience their greatest fullness in glorifying you in all that they do. God, may they go from this place knowing the truths of the foundation of their faith, that you are always present with them. God, that you abide within them through the Holy Spirit, that your peace and your strength and your courage are available for them. And God, that in overwhelming moments, that they are never alone. God, may you guide them to find new and healthy community in these places that they venture to. May you help them build healthy routines to care for themselves and others. God, may you continue to build them into the leaders that you have called them to be. We give you thanks for that this morning. In Christ's name we pray, amen.